Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dottiglio along with Charlie Long handling things behind the scenes. And you heard Charlie talk in the Sports Flash about the Saints have named their starting quarterback to start the 2025 season in Spencer Rattler. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, the man himself, Spencer Rattler. Spence, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you guys for having me.
Spence, I think, you know, when you put in all that work and, you know, Bobby Hebert and I, we do sports talk a lot, and he always talks about people don't see behind the scenes all the work you do, and you working with other people, and you part of a group. Now, you get signaled out sometimes a little bit too much when you win, maybe too much when you lose, but to get that information from the head coach that you were the starting quarterback from Coach Kellen Moore. What was your initial thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was very excited. You know, it's a amazing opportunity, something you dream about since you're a little kid, you know, playing the game. So being able to gain, you know, my teammates' confidence and mainly my coach's confidence as, you know, it's a big opportunity for me, and I'm looking forward to going to battle with the guys.
A lot of people call in the Sports Talk and they ask about that room, okay? When you, not only Kellen Moore, because I know with Coach Moore, he's got a lot of other responsibilities as a head coach, but being a former quarterback himself, but you got a room full of former quarterbacks that you work with. How is that? Because I do think that's important, Spence, that when you have people that have been there, been through that situation, and explaining to younger quarterbacks what it's like, kind of tell everybody how that room is with Coach Nussmeier and also Coach Scott and everybody else that's involved, being former quarterbacks and relating to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, having former NFL QBs coach you in your quarterback room, I think is crucial, and I think we've seen that throughout OTAs, training camp, and preseason. You know, just the information we get from a day-to-day from Nussmeier and Tolzien has been great. You know, how they see the game. We all, you know, kind of see it similar and can talk about things we see different and just how we implement drills and, you know, take the classroom to the field. I think it's all been great. You know, any questions we have, they're quick to answer, and it's, you know, it's just been great to work with those guys. We got a really good room.
Last year, you got to work in the training camp period, and I don't know about preseason, but in regular season, they weren't there. The main difference now to have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed back in the lineup, and I know for a quarterback to have that guy, you can throw him that little short pass, and he can take off with it and score from anywhere out on the field. You didn't have that measure last year with either one of those two guys when you were in there during the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a different game when those guys are in there and healthy. They've had such a good camp and you know, the preseason reps they did get, they did a great job. And, you know, we're going to lean on those guys heavy, as you guys know. They're very dynamic, and I think they fit, you know, perfectly into the system that Coach Moore implemented with us. But, yeah, you know, obviously different circumstances last year with, you know, this and that, but it's good to have them back, good to have all these guys back and, you know, have a full team ready to go.
Okay, I'm going to make you a scout now. So give us some details about Torricelli Simpkins. You got to play with him 1 year at South Carolina, and comes in here as an undrafted free agent. And I was so impressed. Okay, after the second play of preseason, you know, you have an injury there. And all of a sudden it's, hey, kid, get in there and play center. And that's not where he really was supposed to. I think he was supposed to start off at guard and then move to the center spot. Tell us a little bit about Simpkins and what makes him assimilate and be able to process this so quickly at the NFL level.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to overlap with Selly at South Carolina. He came the year after I left, but even when he came, I heard a lot of positive reports about him at South Carolina and this and that. And, you know, ever since he stepped in the facility here with the Saints, you know, he's very reliable. He's a great guy. He works hard. So he's a guy, you know, you can trust and you want on the field with you. So for him to jump in that second play of the Chargers game and be ready to roll like that, you know, I think it kind of all caught us off guard. But at the same time, you know, we knew he was a guy that was reliable, worked his butt off, and obviously – has done a great job this whole preseason, and he, you know, he's a Gamecock. So what else do you expect?
That's a great line. You know, a lot of people say so much competition, you know, with you and Tyler Shuck, and but the relationship is more than that. Both of you trying to get the same job, but you know, it's sort of the interaction between the two of you. He's not your regular rookie because, you know, of what happened in college and some injuries and certainly being able to transfer here and there. But the relationship between the both of you seem to be so good.
Yeah, you know, I think we do a good job of being pros. You know, this is, we understand the, you know, business side of it and all that, but you know, at this level, it's just, it is what it is. You know, we come to work each day. We help each other get better. Obviously, I think this competition has, you know, sharpened both of our games up. And, you know, it's been a pleasure working with him and, you know, the other guys in the room as well. So, you know, we have fun competing and, you know, we'll be helping each other, you know, throughout the season. And, you know, we have a good room.
Spencer, you got a great vote of confidence from Coach Moore today, and I played that audio earlier in the Flash where he talked about your consistency, that you've done a great job throughout the offseason, that you've really earned this opportunity. I want to ask you about your connection with Coach Moore early on, the youngest head coach in the NFL, his first head coaching journey, and he picks you as the starting quarterback. But I just want to get your thoughts on your early experiences with Coach Moore, you know, in just kind of that connection that you've built with him.
Yeah, you know, I have so much respect for Coach Moore, just how he comes about. Coaching us as a team, implementing, you know, team bonding, how he implements the offense. I mean, you can go down the whole checklist. He has done a great job from top to bottom with how he's came in and changed this culture up. We've enjoyed our time with him, and we're excited to go to battle with him. I think he's such a bright mind. And like you said, I'm just, you know, happy and grateful that he's got that confidence in me to make that decision and be behind me. And that's all you can ask as a quarterback. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity, and I know he's the guy to be leading the ship.
You know, one of the things a lot of people don't get, and Spence, you saw it last year in your first year, is that's so much of a difference speed-wise between preseason and regular season. Okay, it's like the jump from college to the NFL or high school to college. There is that jump speed-wise, and the physicality kind of also leaps up also, but I know you have to be so excited about wanting to play, getting that opportunity to start in game one against Arizona, but you know the challenges with that also.
No doubt. You know, not any game in this league is not going to be easy. I mean, you're going to it's going to be a battle each and every week. You know, preseason, everybody's really in the coaching phase still and still trying to tighten things up. But, yeah, once that regular season gets off going week one, I mean, it's full speed ahead. So you're going to get, you know, your competition's best. They're going to be dialed in. So, you know, we got to be on our stuff and put a great plan together, which I know we will, and go out there and execute and play fast.
We all know this offense sort of rolls through Alvin Kamara, and to see him, you know, I'm not saying he looked like what he did when he was 22, 23 here, but man, he's still got a lot of football gas left in the tank, and understanding what he can do on a field as not only just a runner, but also such a great receiver coming out of the backfield. And got to be excited that he's back, he's rolling, he's in great shape, he's ready to go. But he is such a big part of this offense.
No doubt. I mean, he's a guy we'll rely on in both the run and pass game, as you guys know. And, you know, he's such a good vet for us. And, you know, he's been awesome to work with even since last year. You know, he's got a lot of good, you know, information, and, you know, I feel like we communicate at a high level with what he sees and what he's seen throughout the years. So it's cool being a younger guy and getting to have a vet like that in the backfield with you, with all the experiences he had and his knowledge of the game. I think people don't give him enough credit for, you know, his IQ of the game. He's very, very bright. And obviously physically, you know, one of the best in the game. So, you know, love playing with him and looking forward to the year with him.
What was maybe a couple things you worked on the most this offseason, Spencer, and trying to upgrade your game? There's nothing like experience. We've had Drew Brees on numerous times, and he was like, nothing can beat experience out on that football field. Practice is great. Preseason's great. But it's nothing like in a regular season having to get out there and do it. What maybe a couple things you've really worked on quite a bit this offseason?
Yeah, I think just that pocket presence. You know, I feel like I've always had a, you know, natural feel for the pocket, but I think you know, just tightening up footwork, you know, knowing how to get the ball out quicker, playing a little more decisive with your eyes and your progressions. And, you know, I think it's hard to practice, you know, decision-making and all of that in the off season, but I think having practices and getting preseason games and getting those more reps, you know, I think we've done a good job of protecting the ball and, you know, taking what the defense gives you. But like, kind of like what you said, I mean, there's no better way to get better than being in the fire and getting those real live reps. So, you know, we're still growing day to day, but, you know, like where the game's at now, just want to keep working.
Spencer, one thing that Bobby Hebert has mentioned throughout the process of selecting the starting quarterback was that the team knew who the guy was throughout the preseason as it kind of progressed, and that, you know, they just needed the announcement to be able to rally it behind that guy ahead of week one against Arizona, which is just less than 2 weeks away. I just want to get your thoughts on what the team has kind of said to you since the announcement's been made, other players kind of approaching you and congratulating you on winning that starting QB job. And now kind of it's time to get to work, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, guys are focused, guys are excited, but we know there's a, you know, big task ahead this year for us. And, you know, I think we all got the same mindset of, hey, we're ready to attack. You know, guys are excited about this and that, but we're excited to play together. We're excited to get out there week one and get this thing rolling.
Spence, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We really appreciate it. We all wish you the best of luck, and man, pulling for you. And let's get a W when you play the Cardinals.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Spencer Rattler, who was named the starting quarterback for the New Orleans Saints today by Kellen Moore. I think maybe, to be honest, Charlie, he sort of knew a little bit ahead of time
right.
that he was going to get that job. I know we've talked about it, Bobby and I, for weeks, that they would most likely start this season with Spencer Rattler at quarterback. More experience, understanding of the pro game in a regular season. Okay, that's a difference between preseason and regular season. And so he gets the nod. So we appreciating that he would jump on with us short notice-wise here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll go to break and we'll come back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. Want to thank again Spencer Rattler for joining us at 410. Give us his insights and being named the starting quarterback and you know, his improvement this offseason and finally getting to work in the regular season game with Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed. We'll go through all the cuts a little bit later on, but Charlie, one move that was made today, and boy, the Saints need it. Because their offensive line right now, you got basically no depth at all. And so what they did is they sent a six-round pick in 2028. Man, we going that far back? And in exchange, they got Asim Richards and a 2028 seventh-round pick. Now, I watched and scouted Richards. He was at North Carolina. Basically played left tackle the entire time there. He did see some work at right tackle and even played a little bit inside at right guard. One of the coaches said they had worked with him quite a bit also, and even playing center. So, you know, he's versatile. He's played most of his pro career with the Cowboys, came in 2023 as a fifth-round pick. He's played most of his pro career at left tackle, seen a little bit of work at right guard and left guard. But, man, this team needed depth. So here you got a guy that's been in the league. He's really improved as a pass protector. I always thought he was a good run blocker. But he's improved his techniques as a pass protector. He's a depth piece on this football team today. And while you got down to 53, it doesn't mean in 72 hours from now, this lineup will look the same. They're going to have some changes, and I still believe they have to go out through the waiver wire or through a trade or whatever and pick up another offensive lineman somewhere, because today we were told and the release with Landon Young will have ankle surgery and miss the remainder of the season, and he is on injured reserve. So, one thing with Asim, he's versatile, can play across the board, and he finally gets you some depth there, a tackle which you had none to start the day with.
I mean, Mike, that's the number one thing for me is who was going to be your backup left or right tackle if anything were to happen to Kelvin Banks Jr. or Taliese Fuaga? There's nothing there with the Landon Young injury that he suffered in that preseason finale against Denver. Mike, Devin Neal just goes balls into his ankle, and then that's just it. And he gets placed on the IR ending his season. So you desperately needed to add there. And I'll give, you know, the Saints run office credit here. It almost feels like a fake trade in a sense, where they obviously targeted a guy that they liked in Richards, and they go and get him. And it's a late pick swap in 2028. So you can get that offensive line depth in. So give credit where credit's due, bringing in Richards as, you know, that potential backup tackle if anything were to happen to Fuaga or Kelvin Banks.
And Mickey Loomis should know a little bit about him because his son's on that scouting department for the Dallas Cowboys. So maybe you get a little insight, you know, when you're talking about certain right. things, maybe kind of bring that up in conversation a little bit. But Richard certainly brings you some depth and some versatility that you need. But again, while you see the 53-man squad now, this lineup is going to move a little bit. In the next 2 to 3 days, we come back. It's Tulane Tuesday, and we'll be joined by the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Sumrall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And it is Tulane Tuesday, and we have on with us the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Sumrall. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Hope all is well.
Yeah, we're doing great. Coach, I'll give you the floor. You want to announce your starting quarterback now, you can go ahead and do it. You know, I'm not gonna delay you. I'm just let you roll with it. So I'll give you the floor.
I heard it's Spencer Rattler. That's what I heard.
Coach, but you did get good news with one of your quarterbacks and that he could potentially play this coming weekend against Northwestern. And I know with Ratzoff, you know, he's had a short time here and picking up everything, but looks still Brennan's got an opportunity to play this weekend.
Yeah, you know, Brennan's been back available some. We're being mindful about how much we push him right now. Today was really his first heavy load at practice this week. That's really when you got a Tuesday, Wednesday are kind of the ramp it up days where you gotta make sure you have a shot to be available. And he was available to go some today. Looked good at some things we shaking the rust off of, but it was nice having him back out there. And then, you know, Jake's done some really good things. Those are the two guys that have taken the majority of our reps with the ones and the last several weeks. And so it'd be nice to have both of them available. We'll see where Brendan's at. It's nice getting him back, getting his feet underneath him some, but we'll be ready to roll with whoever's out there.
Coach, you've talked to us quite a bit about your talent depth along your defensive line, and that's so important in today's game because when you throw in the football, that there's a wear down to that after a while, especially in the fourth quarter. You see a lot of times teams catch up. How did that happen? Well, you're not getting a pass rush on the guy throwing the ball, okay? And it's almost like 7-on-7 with them. And we've talked a lot about that, but talk a little bit about your offensive line because I know – you place a lot of emphasis on that, the physicality of the game, being able to run the football. Pass protection is also a big part of this game, but I think you got to run the football when you need to and have to, and it all starts with those big guys up front.
No question. You know, the old adage, you throw to score, but you run to win. You know, I mean, teams that win football games traditionally have the ability to play physical at the line of scrimmage and they can run the ball. And, I don't care what your system is. Like, the idea of you have to be a certain style of offense, that it's whatever fits your personnel and your people, right? But, like, whether you're a spread tempo team or you're a pro-style conventional team or you're an option three-back option team, whatever it may be, I mean, running the football bodes well for your opportunity to have success in getting wins. And teams that can run and control the flow of the game, those teams win. Teams that can't usually have a hard time winning consistently. So running the football is important. At the line of scrimmage, man, your offensive line, they've got to be able to hat things up. You know, some of it is the physical components of the game. Can you play with athletic ability, power, and balance and move yourself and someone else? The other component is just, man, Manhattan things up and targeting things right and, you know, getting the back. I like to say a lot of times, and just get the back to the line of scrimmage and then see him work. You know, like, it ain't always going to be blocked for 20, but can you block it for 3 or 4 and the back go get a handful more after that? That's the question. And so I like our line. You know, we've got a couple guys that have elevated. We got 1 or 2 guys dinged up right now that will they be back this week or next? We'll see. But I like that group, and they've come a long way. And, man, being good up front makes everything else easier.
One of the things, Coach, I think people sometimes don't get unless you're involved in a game is the communication part, and especially now in the secondary, because there are so many things, crossing patterns. You see it so much in college football, and it's also sort of seeped into the NFL game the same way, too. Who's your chirper in the secondary? Who's your communicator, the guy there that makes sure, okay, I know what I got to do, but I want to make sure the rest of you guys know where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to get. You always got to have a guy like that.
Yeah, I'd say number one, it's Bailey DeSpaney. He goes by Slim. He's from Karen Crow. You know, he's an old gray-haired guy in our program. He's been here for a while. He's smart. He's not a whole lot he hadn't seen, and he communicates at a really high level. And is a good leader. And then and behind that, I think developing in that role is another young safety. We got Jack Chinchu, who communicates at a high level, is very confident, very smart in what he's communicating and how he's getting it done. But those are really the top two guys that probably set the table back there for what we're getting done on the back end. And Slim's the guy that he's seen everything. And so he's a big time communicator and does a great job setting the table.
You know, Coach, I listened to your presser a week ago at this point, and you talked about the non-conference schedule that Tulane's going to have this year and how it's one of the best in the country. And I'm right there with you as far as group of five schools, because Northwestern coming to Yulman in just 4 days at South Alabama. You and I both know about the Sun Belt programs and your history at Troy with South Alabama on the road that second weekend. And then you welcome Duke to town, an ACC squad, and then on the road at number 21, Ole Miss. I just want to get your thoughts on that schedule ahead of your conference slate in the American Athletic Conference, because as you had mentioned, it's really, really tough, but it's going to challenge your team early.
Yeah, there's no, kind of feel your way through the schedule early. There's not any where you're going to get kind of a layup, if you will. I mean, you're looking at a Big Ten school who was in a bowl game 2 years ago, albeit they didn't have maybe the outcomes they won last year. It's got a lot of talent, man. When you watch them on tape, They're good, and they got players all over the place. And so you got them, then you got South Alabama, who's been to 3 straight bowl games. And then after that, you got Duke, and then you got Ole Miss. I mean, all, you know, most G5 schools, the schedule model is 1 Power 4, 2 G5s, and an FCS. Well, we don't play an FCS school. We play 1 G5, and we play 3 Power 4s. Right. There's not another G5 school in the country doing that this year, like not one other than us. And so the schedule is challenging. I think that's exciting, though. I mean, I think if you're a competitor, man, that gets you going. It gets you ready to roll. And you don't have a whole lot of time to sit around and really think about it a whole lot. You got to strap it up and get ready to go play the game. And our guys are excited about the challenge. I mean, good things in front of us, good opponents in front of us, and let's put the ball down and go play.
Coach, you talked about leaders on the team, but one of the guys too, and Sam Howard, and man, his story is great. But okay, there might be guys that are bigger, faster, stronger, but man, his instincts, his smarts for the game, being able to put yourself in the right position to make a play, man, he really sticks out in those categories.
Yeah, Sam's a stud, man. He's a really mature, very dependable, reliable player. He's an unbelievable teammate, a fantastic leader. I think he's really a better athlete, and he's become a better athlete.
Yeah.
Than probably given credit for. I think, you know, when he got here, I do think he had a little bit of some stiffness that he had to work out, and we did some mobility stuff, and he's improved a ton. And I think he's really invested time into making himself the most complete player he can. But when you talk about the intangibles at certain positions, you know, you usually want a quarterback that's smart and tough, right, and competitive, right, and has some leadership traits. But you want that in your inside linebacker room too. And that's really what Sam's about. He's the guy that holds himself to an extremely high standard, and he holds others around him to that same standard. And never has a bad day, never takes a day off. He brings it every day. He makes everybody he comes in contact with better, and that includes myself. I mean, I'm a better football coach. I'm a better human because I spent time around Sam Howard this morning. You know what I mean? And so he's the kind of guy you love having on your team. And man, such a blessing to our program and everybody in it to have him here.
Coach, a little scouting report on Northwestern and what you've been able to see. And there's always changes when maybe a season doesn't go as well as you would want. And that happened last year for the Wildcats. So what you looking for when you go up this Saturday against Northwestern?
Well, you know, they got Preston Stone, a transfer quarterback, who was the starter at SMU when they made it to the – they won the conference championship against Tulane 2 years ago. So that's who their quarterback is. Preston's a very talented player, can make all the throws, and has the ability to move in the pocket and run too. He's a good athlete. So that's you know, they got a significant upgrade at the quarterback position. And then the second thing I would say, man, is just their size. Like, you look at their O-line, three of the five starters we're going to play against Saturday, they listed 6'7" or bigger. And so, you know, I love our team, but they might think we're the little giants when we come out. You know, we're not going to be the biggest bunch out there on Saturday. They're going to be significantly bigger than we are. And so we've got to be able to handle, you know, that size well. And so that means we got to maybe move a little bit and hopefully be athletic in those situations. But, man, it's a big bunch. It's a physical bunch. They look like a, you know, your typical Big Ten team that has got great size and will be physical with the way they play.
You know, Coach, when you were on with us last week, you had talked about how you may run 10 guys on your defensive line in that opener against Northwestern, which is awesome for depth purposes. But really, I want to get your thoughts on, like, the standout players up front. Like, who's going to be that first line of guys that you're going to be running up against Northwestern in just 4 days?
Yeah, so you got, you know, I'd say Santana Hopper at boundary end is probably a standout guy that's really been a high-level player that I think is going to flash. Trayvon McAlpine, Derek Shepard, those guys at nose. Cam Hamilton, Gerard Henderson at field end. You know, Cam was one of our returning starters. So Hopper, McAlpine, and Cam Hamilton are probably the first three on the field. But there's really like several guys that you could see being out there. But those are probably the first three. Cam being the most experienced here. You know, McAlpine came to us from Texas Tech, and Hopper came here from App State. Hopper is really disruptive. He's the kind of guy that when our offense goes against our defense, he just constantly presents problems. And, you know, he's a handful to block, and he's very twitchy and quick and athletic, but he's also at the same time really powerful and strong, and he's a guy that when he strikes blocks, you feel him. He's got real physicality.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Before I let you go, though, did you make that phone call to Coach Rybecki and give him some insights about Troy? Come on, you got to do him a solid now, y'all partners.
I can tell you this. I texted Tommy just to let him know how proud I was of him after their win on Saturday. He's like, you know, he's a North Alabama guy like me, but we both found our way to South Louisiana and both love it here. And, man, I'm so proud of what they accomplished on Saturday. And man, a lot of good things coming Tommy's way. I'm far enough removed from the Troy notes that I don't know that my notes would help him. That's been a year and a half ago, and I know that game was on the schedule when I was there, and I knew Tommy was running the defense for Coach Rebo at the time, and I thought, man, we're going to be in for a ball game. Those guys are going to play hard, and Tommy's doing a great job. Very, very proud of him and what they've accomplished already in a short season.
Man, if your defense plays like their defense did against Incarnate Word, you got a W this coming Saturday, Coach.
you can win a lot of games with that kind of defense.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Coach, yeah. Thanks so much for joining us. Wish you the best. Look, this coming Saturday as the Green Wave play Northwestern. Hey, go Wave.
Appreciate you. Roll Wave.
Thanks, Coach.
All righty. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate it. That was Tulane Tuesday version of Head Coach John Sumrall. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Finishing up here, our number one of sports talk on the Big 870 WWL. We want to thank Saints starting quarterback Spencer Rattler for joining us. Also, our Tulane Tuesday special with Green Wave head coach John Sumrall. And want to tell everybody, a little after 5:20, we'll have on with us Marlon Favorite from the LSU Radio Network doing pregame and postgame for the Tigers. And when he hears me in, then he got to take over this coming Saturday. And Herb Tyler and I will be at Acme Oyster House 2 to 4:30. And you can hear it right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.